Good morning, church, and Happy New Year. Oh, man, I'll tell you what, to get Christmas and New Year on Sunday this year, we've really, really been blessed. I was really not expecting it to be this warm in here, and I was contemplating stripping as I was sitting over there. I was like, why did I wear a sweater today? What was I thinking? But, you know, it's the first day of January. It's supposed to be cold. Anybody else hot? Is it just me? Am I just fat? Is that it? Probably so. All right. So Happy New Year. It's good to be with y'all. It's good to be together. I am super excited about that. Really appreciated Tommy's leading us in worship this morning and Joel's thoughts for our Lord's Supper. Joel, I'll just tell you this one time. When I was in college, occasionally we would visit these smaller congregations and help them we put together their worship service. We'd take turns preaching, leading, singing. There was one little church way out in the country, a little bitty, like less than 20 members, and it was no air conditioning, just a little wooden building, and they had one kind of main member, older man, who prepared the Lord's Supper every week. And when I say he prepared every week, he picked the grapes, and he made the juice, and he made the bread, all homemade. It was pretty amazing. And then he would bring it over there on Saturday, and it would sit all night in that hot church building. By Sunday morning, we were doing shots. It was pulp in there. Didn't matter. But it was a memorable Lord's Supper nonetheless. Wasp flying around. Anyway, one of those old things. I want to start this morning with a scripture reading. We're going to talk about it just a little bit. Once, when Jesus was praying in private and his disciples were with him, he asked them, "Who do the crowds say I am?" And they replied, "Some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, still others, that one of the prophets of long ago has come back to life." In other words, when Jesus asked his disciples, who are people saying I am? The people out there in general, they were confused about who Jesus was. Here we are, we've got, you know, the Bible and 2,000 years, a lot of experience going on, and all this time later, I got to be honest, I think we're still pretty confused about who Jesus is. So here are, based on some Barna Group research, here are some ideas in our culture about who Jesus is, based on this research from about 5 years ago. So the majority of Christians still believe, or the majority of Americans still believe Jesus was a real person. That's great, right? 92% of Americans still believe Jesus was a real person. That trends downward as we get into younger generations. It's like 86% among millennials, something like that. But most of us still believe that Jesus was at least a real human being. Many still believe Jesus was God. About 56% of Americans believe Jesus was God. 26% say that he was more like a spiritual leader like Muhammad or Buddha. But still, most say that. About 18% aren't sure if Jesus was actually divine. But again, in younger generations, that tends to trend downward. Now, we're pretty divided over whether or not Jesus was sinless. When you ask Americans, was Jesus sinless? Only 46% of Americans believe Jesus was sinless. About 52% believe Jesus was a real human, but that he was also really human, and he sinned like the rest of us. About 2% couldn't figure out what the question meant. And then finally, the last question was, do you believe Jesus is the path to eternal life? Is Jesus the way to heaven? And overall, about 2 out of 5 Americans, about 40%, have confessed that even though they are sinful, they still believe Jesus is the way to eternal life. More commonly, however, especially among people who are professed Christians, people believe that they will go to heaven based on their good works. Now, let's just let that sink in for a little bit. Most people who say they are Christians say they are not bound for eternal life because of Jesus. They are bound for eternal life because of their good works. Now, you may be wondering, and rightfully so, what in the world this has to do with New Year's Day and maybe why the beliefs of our culture in general matter at all. And this to just be a New Year's Day, I'm supposed to be like inspiring you to do something like, you know, donating a larger portion of your income to help those in need, or maybe getting you to promise to read a book of the Bible every day or something like that is what I'm supposed to be doing up here. And absolutely, all those behaviors do matter, you know, spending time in Scripture or spending time in prayer or spending time in helping others. But here's the thing. Behaviors, apart from beliefs, behaviors without beliefs just don't last, do they? Your parents, if you are younger or even if you're a grown adult, sometimes our parents can really influence us. Your spouse, if you're married, your kids, if you have those, or your boss, if you go to a job, all of those people that are around you might be able to get you to change your behavior, at least temporarily. But if you don't really believe in what they're trying to get you to do, then you're going to drop it like a hot potato at the first opportunity. I spent about 10 years in youth ministry, a little over 10 years in youth ministry, and loved it. But I noticed in that time, I was around long enough and stayed in ministry long enough, contacted some of those kids long enough, that you could see when kids got out from under mom and daddy's roof, if they didn't believe the things their parents were getting them to do, then those behaviors stopped almost immediately. In other words, this morning I might make you or try to get you to make a commitment to read your Bible or pray more or give more or do more, whatever it is you think God wants you to be doing, what you think you ought to be doing. But unless you actually believe that those behaviors matter, that they change you or they change your community or they change the world or they change your life around you for the better, unless you actually believe that, those behaviors are not going to stick. They're not going to be around. No matter how hard we work around them, our beliefs, what we really believe, our beliefs beget behaviors. Our beliefs beget behaviors. And you know, y'all know what the word beget means, right? It's a word we don't use very often, but it's a B word and it's easy to remember. So the Bible uses this word a lot when it talks about the generations. They'll say, and so-and-so begat so-and-so, and so-and-so begat so-and-so. All it means is that they brought it into existence. So your parents, your father and mother, they begat you. And if you have kids, you and your spouse, your significant other, that you begat your children, right? So all we're recognizing this morning is that our beliefs bring our behaviors into existence. What we believe produces how we behave, that what we believe matters. So we're just going to say this together this morning. Beliefs beget behaviors. You ready? Beliefs beget behaviors. One more time. Beliefs beget behaviors. So if that is true, if what we believe, what you and I actually believe matters about Jesus, then that's going to change things a great deal. So really quickly, I want you to think of three words that you would use to describe Jesus. If you met somebody who did not know Jesus at all, maybe they came from another culture or another planet or whatever, they didn't know anything about Jesus, and you were trying to describe him, what three words would you use? Now, you can write those down if you have trouble remembering, but I just want you to hang on to those three words. Maybe you'd say he was kind or compassionate. Might describe him as giving or forgiving. Maybe you think of him as powerful or humble or friendly or charismatic and powerful in the way he spoke. Those three, whatever your three words are, here's why your three words matter. Your three words of how you think about Jesus, how you would describe Jesus, what we believe about his identity helps to shape our identity. What you believe about Jesus' identity helps to shape your identity, because we seek to be followers of Jesus. So if that's what you believe Jesus is and you're following that, then that is going to shape your behaviors. Our character is formed out of the character of Christ. That's what the Lord's Supper we just took. That's exactly what we're talking about. We're taking in the body and the bloody blood of Christ, right? We are becoming Christ. You all know, you've heard it said, you are what you eat, right? That's what Jesus was practicing. You are becoming me. You are walking in my footsteps. You are doing the things I did, saying the things I said. You are literally becoming me. Our character is formed out of the character of Christ. So whatever it is you believe about Jesus, that is the character he is working to form in you. That brief summary of who you believe Jesus to be, if we're right about those things, Christ is trying to grow that in you, whatever it is. Maybe you believe Jesus to be sinless, and you're like, oh, I'm never going to be sinless. And if that's the way you think of Jesus, that's great, because I believe he's sinless too, but you're thinking that's impossible. Or you think of Jesus as perfect, and you think, how could he grow perfect in me? Or maybe you think about Jesus as holy, but how could I be holy? Nevertheless, that's exactly what Scripture teaches. And so when Jesus asks his disciples, who do the crowds, who do they, those people out there, who do they say I am? What he's really doing is he's setting up his disciples for this next question, because this next question is the much more important question. Not what do they think that I am, but he asks them, who do you say that I am? And the you here, by the way, is plural you. It's not a singular. He's not talking to a single person. The you here is plural. In the South, we might substitute y'all, because that's the plural of you. And so what he's really saying is, who do y'all say that I am? And Peter answers and says, you're God's Messiah. You're God's chosen ones. Peter and the disciples, those closest to Jesus, they were convinced that Jesus was God's anointed one. And this is not just like Peter just saying, well, this is what I think. He's speaking up for the whole group. He's voicing what they as a group have come to see Jesus as, that Jesus was sent by God to change them and to change the world. And I think sometimes even we, maybe even especially we as Christians, can lose sight of that. Some of you may have heard of a renowned theologian. His name is Karl Barth. And he was lecturing a group of students at Princeton. And a student asked him, he said, sir, don't you think that God has revealed himself in other religions and not only in Christianity? Which is, it's a valid question. You might look at, Islam or Buddhism or Hinduism or whatever other religions out there and say, well, there's some true things in there. Maybe God's revealing himself through those religions as well. But Barth stunned his students and stunned the crowd that was listening when he said, no, God has not revealed himself in any religion, including Christianity. He has revealed himself in his Son. God is not revealed through a religion. He is revealed through a relationship. It is so tempting for us to believe that we have God nailed down in this behavior or in this doctrine or in this teaching or in this church practice, that we have God nailed down and cornered down in what we do and what we say and what we believe. But if you don't know God's Son, then you cannot know God. That's what he's saying. If you don't know Jesus, you cannot know God. In John's gospel, Jesus said it this way. Jesus answered, he said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you'll know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and you have seen him. And when he said this, I mean, this is a big, 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 bold statement to say to anyone, even your closest friends then, that if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, if you've heard me, you know God. And so Philip asks him, and Philip was like, okay, maybe we can believe this, but you need to give us some proof here. You need to show us the Father. In other words, what Philip was asking for was, I need to see something here. Just you telling me that knowing you is knowing God is one thing, but you just need to show us the Father. If you'll just show us God, then we'll be verified and we'll know for sure that we're on the right track here. And Jesus responds and Jesus says, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. If you've seen me, you have seen the Father. Knowing Jesus is knowing God. Our next study that we're going to be beginning, and I know you're going to be super excited about this. I just wanted to warm you up a little bit. We're going to be doing a study through the book of Deuteronomy. Hold your applause. And I know, I had so many requests just pouring in. Please, can we do a book of law? And prayers have been answered. And we're going to do a study through the book of Deuteronomy. And you may think, what is that it got to do with anything today? But Deuteronomy is a book that shows God's leading and his law and how they shape the people following him. And that has not changed. How God's leading and his law shape the people who are following him. And at its core, at its heart, we have to understand that changing us has to begin with changing our understanding of God. If you want to be changed, if 2023, you're like, I can't do 2023 the way I did 2022 or 2021. I've got to do something different here. And you may be thinking of some relationships. You've got to be different in some relationships or maybe your relationship with the Lord or maybe some of your spiritual practices or maybe some of your habits. And you're just thinking, I can't keep doing what I've been doing. I've got to change something. And I'm here to tell you that changing us has to begin with changing our understanding of God. That knowing and understanding the character of God is the only thing that is ever going to effectively change us for the better. If you want to be different, you got to know a different God. The God of Scripture. The God who revealed himself to his people in Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy in the things that he said and the behaviors he displayed. The God who revealed himself in later times through mighty acts and then ultimately revealed himself in the person of his son Jesus. Because we have to remember that beliefs beget behaviors. Let's say this one more time. Belief beget behaviors. And our prayer for you, as a Forest Mills, a church, our prayer for you, our prayer for your family is that in this new year, you may come to know God better and be changed forever. Not because what it's expected of you, not because you've got something hanging over your head that if you don't do this, bad things are going to happen, not because we're threatening you or peer pressuring you or any of that. We want you to be changed because God is changing you. That you're coming to know him and becoming more like him through his son Jesus. And if we can help you in that endeavor this morning, if you need prayers for strength, for encouragement, for forgiveness, if you're ready to put on Christ and begin that new life today, we want you to know today is the day. Don't hesitate any longer. If we can help you at all, won't you come as we stand and as we sing?